Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, February 26th. And dare I say that this is the new low point of the season, a season with many. We are now approaching another one. But this is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, aptly named Locked On Pistons. And give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. Today we'll be talking about that horrific weekend of Pistons basketball. And I'll be breaking down where we're at this point in the season. And I'll be giving my thoughts on the one rotation change that I would make that seems painfully obvious and unexplored by Coach Stan Van Gundy. And then we'll talk about the Toronto Raptors because, oh, by the way, the Pistons have the top team in the Eastern Conference tonight on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. We know the Pistons are at their best when they are going to work every day, but you're at your best every day with great coffee from Detroit's Best Cafe. Ash Supply Company was voted by our Detroit magazine readers as the area's best independent coffee shop in 2017. Ash Supply Company, a Detroit business that's growing in the heart of the city, is the coffee that is driving Detroit's renaissance. It's not just coffee with these guys, it's a lifestyle. My guys, Mike and AJ, built this company from the ground up. They're Wayne State grads. They're the Isaiah and Joe D of coffee, basically. I've known these guys for a long time. I've had their coffee, and I've given it as gifts to serious and satisfied coffee fans. They source their own beans ethically from around the world, and then they roast all their own coffee in-house at their flagship cafe downtown. They have two locations in Detroit that you should visit, and their coffee is available at retailers all over the Metro Detroit area. And lucky for me, they're also at Goddess and the Baker in downtown Chicago as well. But Locked On Pistons is giving you a great offer for coffee to come to you monthly so you can get Detroit's best brew every day at your home or business. Visit ashsupplycompany.com. That's A-S-H-E supply co.com and use the promo code LOCKED at checkout for 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Make your choice between subscriptions. The Roaster's Choice Single Origin, featuring offers from Latin America, East Africa, or the Pacific Islands. The Three Roast Sampler, 3 6-ounce samplers from different regions around the world. Or the Drink Coffee Live Wild subscription, which features a Roaster's Choice 12-ounce bag along with a carefully curated coffee-inspired accessory, either a shirt, coffee-infused candle, or coffee-infused soap. These guys are supporting the podcast. They're Detroit guys, so you should support them. Again, go to ashsupplycompany.com, A-S-H-E supply co.com. Use promo code LOCKED at checkout and receive 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Ash Supply Company, drink coffee, live wild. As you know, the Pistons dropped two games over the weekend in resounding fashion, 110-98 to the Boston Celtics at home in Detroit on Friday night, and then 114-98 to the Charlotte Hornets on Sunday afternoon in a game they trailed by 30 points at times. And that final score is a little deceiving in how close it was. They got murdered, and hopefully you didn't watch too much of it. To be honest, I turned it off with about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I had seen enough. The Pistons are now 28-31 on the season, 2.5 games behind the Miami Heat for the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. This has just been a roller coaster of a season. The 5th loss in 6 games on Sunday. That's coming off of the 8-game losing streak that they had, then the 5-game winning streak, which coincided with the trade for Blake Griffin, and now they've dropped 5 of 6 since that time. I've got whiplash. I don't know about you guys. These guys, early in the season, they had a few stretches, especially the first 22 games, where they were one of the top 10 teams in the league, really. And lately, they've been more like one of the bottom 10 teams in the league, which is hard to do when you're talking about a lot of NBA teams that have pretty much folded up the tent and have turned into tanking as far as the franchise direction that they're headed right now. Not a great reflection on the coaching staff when you have, you know, obviously the Griffin trade throws a huge wrench into the plans of the team, but even before that, that they had the same players out there and looked so good at times and then so bad at times. But obviously, in their defense, other teams are now hitting their grooves after the All-Star break, and every serious team hoping to make the playoffs came back from the break rejuvenated, while the Pistons in some way are starting from scratch after making the big trade about a month back. And now they're without Reggie Jackson, which, and I know that many of you are tired of hearing that, but it is a thing. And I think with every pro sports team, though, there's always going to be a faction of the fan base that are out there trying to fire the coach. And of course, with the Pistons, it's easier to do that because it's one guy who's the team president and the coach. But the seat does feel really hot for Stan Van Gundy these days, especially on days like Sunday. This does feel like the bottom of the barrel. Coincidentally, it's kind of a similar feeling to what I had on the Monday podcast on the morning of January 29th, about a month ago. It was just bleak. And that ended up being the day that the Pistons traded for Blake Griffin. And that is different, and in some ways this might be a little bit worse. You were teased with hope a little bit. But this thing has the potential of going real bad for the Pistons and Van Gundy. I've said before, the Griffin trade probably bought Stan Van Gundy next year, the fifth year of his five-year deal when they brought him into the organization. But I don't know if that means he'll be in his lame duck year next year, or maybe given like a one-year contract extension this summer to avoid some of that awkwardness. I can't get inside owner Tom Gores' mind there. But I do think that if this thing unravels badly and they miss the playoffs by a lot, a few more than a couple of games, that there's a chance that Stan Van Gundy doesn't even get his offseason with this team and he's gone this year. If he's losing this team and there are more performances like there were on Sunday, this could be it. I'm not there yet. I'm disappointed like a lot of you guys. I hate watching this team in many of the games that they've had this year, especially recently on Sunday. It's horrible to watch. It's a waste of time. You get mad. It's just like watching the Tigers for many years, these last few years. I think Stan Van Gundy, however, has proven himself in his career to be one of the better coaches of the league of the last era. Now, is he still one of the better coaches of the league? It's not showing here in Detroit, certainly not this year, not by a long shot. But I've always thought, with coaches, you need to be sure that your guy is not the guy before you get rid of him. And I just remind you of the horrors that the Pistons have had basically since Larry Brown and to maybe a lesser extent, Flip Saunders coaching this franchise and what kind of crap they went through for many years. So before we throw Stan Van Gundy off the ship, we got to maybe think about what the alternatives would be. So I'd caution a little bit there. But I'm going to bring up the one rotation move that I think seems painfully obvious that it's simply not being explored by Van Gundy and the coaching staff in a little bit here. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach men between 18 and 44, the coveted group, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we'll talk about the Toronto Raptors and ask the question if the Pistons have any chance tonight in Canada against them. But on Sunday, the Pistons were largely with Charlotte for most of the first quarter, and then the bench came in, Jameer Nelson and company, and it was pretty much over. The same story from Friday night where the Pistons had the lead early on. I think they led by 5 after the first quarter against the Celtics. And then on Sunday, no Luke Kennard, basically, until it was decided. Langston Galloway makes his return to the real rotation. Pretty much adds nothing. It's frustrating. The bench was outscored on Friday by the Boston Celtics 65-21. That more of the same continued on Sunday against the Hornets, as the Charlotte Hornets bench, who has been pretty much dismal throughout the entire season up until the last couple weeks, they outscored the Pistons 51-28. And that 28 for the Pistons included Dwight Bikes, who had 12 points, but he came in before the game was already decided. Same for Henry Ellenson, who had 7 points. He came in after the game was decided. James Ennis had 9 points, and the rest of the bench regulars, I'm talking about Anthony Tolliver, Jameer Nelson, Eric Moreland, Langston Galloway, Luke Kennard, the guys that come in from the bench that you expect to produce, they did not score, all of those guys. So James Ennis, Dwight Bikes, Henry Ellenson, the only bench guys to score, and Ennis the only one who did it in a time when the game wasn't already decided. So to help fix that, here's a simple thing that the Pistons need to explore, and I know we've talked about it a little bit on this podcast before, but they need to get Ish Smith back in the second unit, no matter what at this point. I know with Reggie Jackson out of the lineup, the starting point guard, Ish Smith is the best option for the Pistons at the one. I get it. And there's no question on that. It's pretty obvious. And in his time, in his career, and especially with the Pistons these last couple of years, he's earned that distinction. And he's obviously that guy. But there's just really not a fit with the guys he plays with in the starting group. Ish's biggest strength offensively is create shots for himself. That's what he does. And really, that's all he does. He's got 4.6 assists per game, which is 45th in the league. Not great for a guy who's been the starting point guard for one of the league's 30 teams for much of the season. And got real good minutes with kind of a limited Reggie Jackson even before that. Ish Smith's ability to create for himself, it's definitely a useful skill. I'm not trying to rip on Ish completely here, but to see him go to work for the first 10 or so seconds on the shot clock, get into the lane and not get a shot, and then maybe pivot out and look for a bailout to Reggie Bullock in the wing or Stanley Johnson on the wing or Griffin kind of nearby. There's just nothing resembling an offense there as you get started with another, you know, 12 or 14 seconds on the shot clock. And it's a waste to the precious minutes that you have of Reggie Bullock and Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond out there to go out there and watch him go through those progressions while they watch him. You know, sometimes it works. Ish Smith, like, he had 20 points on Friday night against Boston. I think he had 12 or 13 on Sunday against Charlotte. But that could also work with the second unit against lesser defenders, by the way. And we saw that happening in the beginning of the season. And I know that Ish being as a starter and playing with the starting unit is the result of Reggie's injury, but I guess it seems like the Pistons should get somebody else in that group with the starting group. And I'm not talking about the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game when I say starting. I mean the with the starters and the majority of those minutes. Maybe even Jameer Nelson is that guy, although I will admit that he looks pretty cooked and he's definitely on the last legs of his career. Or maybe it's Luke Galloway, or maybe it's get creative, get Luke Kennard out there. Maybe he can share some of the ball handling responsibilities with Stanley Johnson out there or something like that. Get someone in there with the first unit who can either facilitate and get the offense started and get guys the ball in some kind of rhythm where they want it to be, or if nothing else, get the ball up the court and stay out of the way the rest of the time. I think Galloway could do that. He could bring up the court, get to the wing, or get it to Griffin in the high post and just get out of the way and spot up after that. Then you bring Ish in with the other guys who desperately need some kind of spark in that second unit. I'm tired on Friday and on Sunday. I'm tired of watching guys like Jameer and Eric Moreland and Anthony Tolliver just kind of staring at each other offensively. Bless Anthony Tolliver, the guy, friend of the podcast, obviously been a big difference maker for the Pistons when they are going good this season, but he's not a creator, can't do that. Those guys are just kind of standing around waiting for someone to make something happen. And right now, the guy is James Ennis, and he's trying. He's been a nice addition, but they need some more firepower in that second group. Not only could Ish provide that for the second unit, but keep in mind, although it seems so long ago, this was one of the NBA's best benches early on this season. And I really think not only Ish could help out the bench, but getting him out of the way of the starters will help them too. And I know then you talk about the fourth quarter, down the stretch of games. That's where Stan Van Gundy as the coach has to make the choice, kind of go with the hot hand or which guy can take advantage of the matchup with the other guards. Or maybe you get someone in there who can defend the point guard a little bit better. But that's really been a disappointing part too. Why even go get Jameer Nelson, an aged point guard who can't really do any defending either? Why not go find a perimeter defender somewhere, even if he's not really good offensively? You can hide him in, like I said, with maybe that starting group. Just go find someone from the G League instead of using an asset to go get Nelson. Someone who can stop someone, some young guy who can maybe get out of the way offensively, the starters, but can get into someone's pocket defensively. You know, when comparing, you're looking at Ish and Langston and Jameer, Kennard, whoever. I don't think, and you could throw Reggie Jackson when healthy or, you know, barely healthy into that group too. None of these guys play enough defense at a level where you have to have that part of the game even be a consideration when thinking about who to have in there. And that's a disappointing thing too. You'd think that Stan Van Gundy would understand that this is the Detroit Pistons, the team of Joe Dumars and Chauncey Billups, that maybe they would have one guard who could lock someone up. It's very sad. I know that Avery Bradley was supposed to be that guy, but obviously things weren't working out for him with this organization. And I think Pistons fans were happy to see him go for a variety of reasons. But why do we have so many players in the backcourt? And I know that you could consider Stanley Johnson to be kind of a backcourt player and James Ennis too, but I'm talking more about the point guard position and obvious, you know, twos and ones and stuff like that. Like I said, you can still start Ish. I'm not talking about the five guys that Mason introduces before the game. It doesn't really matter. If you want to give Ish that Michael Curry 4 or 5 minutes to start the game out of respect or to hide the fact that Jameer Nelson might be your best option with those starting other players, then that's fine. And I understand that might be embarrassing because Jameer Nelson, like I said, pretty much cooked at this point. But they did it once recently by starting Galloway, I think, against the Miami Heat at home. But they pulled the plug early in that thing, and then there's just a limited supply of impact players in this team right now, and they need to be smart about how those minutes are rationed. I think Ish is kind of a one-man show out there sometimes, and again, not ripping on Ish because that's a good skill that the Pistons need to figure out how to utilize as good as possible, but I think he can be utilized best with those bench groups and figure out another way to get some scoring and some complementary pieces to go alongside Blake Griffin and the other starters. But we're going to be talking about the Toronto Raptors and how the Pistons will figure that out a little bit after the break. But speaking of confounding teams in Detroit, how about those Detroit Lions that are pretty much haunted you throughout your entire life? They got a new coach now, and exciting times for the Leos as Matt Derry of Detroit Radio has the podcast Locked On Lions. You should be checking that out every day, as I know you're addicted to those that team, just like many of us are in southeastern Michigan. But check out the other NBA podcasts. We got one for every NBA team and one for every NFL team as well. So check out the Locked On Network, your team every day. 7:30 game tonight against the Toronto Raptors at the Air Canada Center in the Great White North. The Pistons will be 10.5-point dogs at Toronto, where the Raptors are 24-5 at home so far this year. They've played just one game since the All-Star break, and that was on Friday night at home. So they've been home the whole time, which must be nice for them. A nice little schedule bonus, kind of a two-week break for the Raptors there. The Pistons have lost 8 of the last 11 games in the regular season in Toronto, so not a lot of success as of late. The Raptors came into Friday with a 7-game winning streak after the going into the All-Star break, where they took over first place in the Eastern Conference from the Boston Celtics, who had it throughout most of the first half. But then the Raptors lost to Giannis and the Bucks in overtime on Friday. They've struggled to close out close games, which is hard to believe for a team with such a great 41-17 record. Dwayne Casey's group is actually 11-13 in games decided by 6 points or fewer. So all the games that they're losing have been close ones. And I've been a little bit, because of that and because of the history of the Raptors, I've been a little bit dubious about them as the Eastern Conference favorites. I don't really see a team that is playoff great, although it could be process of elimination that maybe gets them in the NBA Finals for the first time this year. But my money is still on LeBron to get there and get smoked by the Warriors in kind of a ho-hum Finals like we've come to get used to with the NBA lately. But to their credit, the Raptors and DeMar DeRozan taking his game to a new level. Like I said, I've said before, Dwayne Casey, I think he was the first half coach of the year in the NBA. I think it's really hard to take a team that's very good and could be stale in some ways and make some changes and get some guys to buy in a little bit to maybe take your team up another level after some disappointments around the franchise in terms of playoffs and whatnot. So hats off to Dwayne Casey, who doesn't get his do as one of the better coaches in the NBA. And I think Kyle Lowry could be primed for a big second half, as DeRozan got a lot of the shine from the first half, and maybe his backcourt mate will show his worth a little bit more in the second half. They got solid bench players and rotational guys. They got Serge Ibaka out there as a starter. They got CJ Miles from Indiana, who's playing a big role for them off the bench. It's going to be difficult. This is one of those organizations that is very well run and finds guys throughout the league and the draft and all that kind of stuff too. But for the Pistons, there are no moral victories anymore, obviously. When you got 23 games left in the season, they got an uphill battle to get back into the playoff hunt. The Pistons went up to Toronto earlier this year, lost by 5, and you kind of felt okay about it because they played well against a tough team, but not anymore. I mean, this team needs wins, no doubt about it. But check out that game tonight against the Toronto Raptors, second game of a back-to-back. certainly not a lot of high expectations from Pistons fans about how this game will go tonight, but this team has been known to surprise us, mostly on the negative side lately. But who knows? Maybe they're ripe for another run at some point as the year goes on. But be sure to check out Ash Supply Company in downtown Detroit at one of their locations, or visit their website, ashsupplyco.com, A-S-H-E, supply, C-O, .com, to order your monthly subscription of Detroit's best coffee. They're supporting this podcast, so it's our turn to support them. Use promo code LOCKED at checkout when ordering a subscription online, and you will get 20% off your purchase. Ash Supply Company. Drink coffee. Live wild. We will find out together tonight if the Pistons have some sort of chance of knocking off the East's best team on the road. And well, I have a hunch it's not going to be a good showing by the Pistons tonight, but we'll see how it goes, and we'll be talking about it on tomorrow's podcast here on Locked On Pistons. But give us a follow on the Locked On NBA Network at the Locked On NBA Net Twitter handle, and also give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you all again soon. Enjoy the game tonight.